In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a 7-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
Hi, this is Ruben Loftus-Cheek.
I'm Pat Nevin.
I'm Mason Mount. You're listening to the London is Blue podcast.
All right, Chelsea fans, welcome back to another episode of the London is Blue podcast. That's right. Coming at you, bringing a little festive cheer with this one. As always, your host, Brandon, joined by Nick and Dan. Dan, it's got to be one of your favorite episodes. It is a mailbag episode doubled up with Christmas. Anytime we get listeners from the questions, this is funny because you never know what to expect.
It is exactly like gift giving right now. You know, some of them are socks. Some of them are amazing buy it for life type items that you're always going to carry with you because the question is so profound, and everything in between, Nick. So we cover the gamut here, Chelsea related, non-Chelsea related, personal and intimate. Some that are
That's right.
Arsenal, and you know, everything in between. So we got to cover. We got a smorgasbord of questions ready to go.
Whereas on the last podcast, I said that Louis Beneventi had the tweet of the day by saying, if you watch Jose Bazingua at right back under Andre Villas-Boas, you don't need to worry about what's in the vaccine. It was only slightly topped yesterday by, if you support Arsenal, you don't need to worry about what's in the vaccine. It's 100% correct. I mean, the emotional damage that that club has done on that fan base is something that I wish there was a vaccine for, but frankly, those people are going to have to live with it a little longer, I think. So
it is actually hard to fathom, especially I remember the Invincibles. That ship has sailed a long, long time ago. And here,
you're showing your age, Brandon. Yeah, you're showing your age.
Showing my early fandom. So anyways, you know, just a quick table check on them too. They're in 15th, but they could still go further down as this goes. So anyways, we're recording on the 20th of December. Just want to get ahead of this. So, you know, it's recording content for the future so you guys can enjoy it and we can enjoy our holidays. Sure. And I think this will probably tie into a little bit of what comes out of this episode. You guys have asked about what we do and how we balance this stuff. Well, this is part of it. You take advantage, record for 2-3 hours on a Sunday, package them up, ship them out and throughout the week and make it work. So, out of the beginning one, Millhouse from Discord saying, how y'all doing? Hope y'all are doing well. Nick, that big old grin on your face playing Santa last night, you're doing great.
Yeah, I'm all right. I mean, it's
context.
Yeah, besides everything being awful, it's great. And you know, I think it's kind of how we are. It's great to get a how are y'all doing. We know Millhouse is from the South, so a y'all in an appropriate context, that's good. That makes me smile. Also, Millhouse, if you could send up any sort of Southern biscuit for breakfast type of thing, that would be tremendous. Because the South does nothing better than biscuits, in my opinion. And I know Dan is a biscuit enthusiast as well, so we'll take him.
I am indeed. And I think that actually Bojangles, which is you can only get in certain parts of the South. Like if you go into Florida, you've gone too far. It's a Georgia and northward thing. Has one of the best type of fast food items. Their Cajun filet biscuit. Whew, that's good. Ooh. It's good.
Yes. Not right. The point of this question at all. We're doing okay.
we're now about to like have to open a P.O. box in all three of our addresses so people ship stuff to us. Like, is that the level we're going? YouTube unboxings?
Oh, yes. Biscuits? Are you kidding me? I would do that all day. Let's go. I don't care if they're cold.
All right. Hey, hard pivot off biscuits to Adi Joseph, a former guest and friend. He says, Chelsea question, do you think Cho over the next 2 to 3 seasons will A, accept the role as a third winger, B, push Pulisic-Ziyech for the full health starting role, or C, need to be loaned or sold? I mean,
Adi's been asking me some hard questions recently that I don't have answers to. God, man, you just hope it's B, don't you? I mean, you really hope When you talk about strength and depth, Dan, I think we were talking about this the other day, which is, are Chelsea a deep squad, or are there just what is it? What seems to be a deep squad? How you get to be a deep squad? How you get to be a Bayern Munich or a, you know, Barcelona in their pomp, or a Juventus, or, you know, any of these clubs, is you have guys who every week feel like they should, that they are aggrieved because they are not starting, because they've done everything they can to push the starting 11. I don't know if Chelsea have that right now, although I would love to see this.
So it will be interesting. Oh, go ahead, Brandon.
Well, no, I was going to say, part of that success, though, story, Nick, is be a big team in a one-team league. Bayern, Juve, they're able to help.
Chelsea used to have it. Chelsea used to have depth all over the place.
Well, I just mean, like, I think of, like, Bayern specifically, and even Juve, if there's, like, a really good player from an opposition team in the league, they can just snap it up, pretty much, like, without competition. Here, there is a little bit more competition. Obviously, yes. I was just laughing. It's like, I feel like those teams have an advantage that we don't. Like, Bayern can go get Lewandowski from Dortmund for like 20 million. You're like, okay, that's cheating. But
yeah,
all things considered, absolutely. That is the type of squad, at least makeup, right? Squad makeup of depth where you've got 2-3 players in every spot. But anyways, you were going
to
say.
I think it's going to come down to a couple of things. It's taking his shots and opportunities when they come up. You know, that we have seen this season, right? That we do not have a team of people with healthy hamstrings, it seems, or people who can keep them healthy for an extended period of time. So if we think about Pulisic, if we think about Ziyech, there's going to be opportunities for Callum throughout the remainder of this year. I mean, even, you know, insofar as like next week or through the rest of this festive fixture list, where we might give him the opportunity to start a Premier League match and do so maybe even on the left to spell like a Timo Werner or Timo goes centrally. So he's going to get chances is whether or not he capitalizes on them. You know, I think if we kind of just talk about like how he's performed, like, you know, this season, right? He's played in 12 matches. He's had 6 starts. He's only played 600 minutes. He's got 3 goals to his name. Last season, plays 33 matches, starts in 13 of those, 1,500 minutes, 3 goals, 6 assists. So, I mean, ultimately, it's going to come down to, you know, things. And look, that was a recovery season as well, so we got to keep that in mind. But ultimately, it's how can he integrate himself? How can he show up when he gets his chances? And if he can, when someone's injured, you know, I think at least with Frank here, we have determined that if someone does ride a hot run of form, they can stay in the starting lineup for an extended period of time. If he is not able to develop a consistency, that's where he does kind of move to, I think, a second, third choice option on the depth chart. And that's where, Nick, I think ultimately he'll find himself in a position where he may look elsewhere if he wants to be a starter. You know, this is the question we have with, like, Matt Law was talking about, and this is a sneaky preview for our Matt Law end of the year special, but we talked about squad construction and how Chelsea for 2021, one of the things they have to do is figure out this type of situation, because Callum isn't the only one. There's going to be a lot of youth players coming up through where we have used them as a squad player who wants to start, and that's going to cause a little bit of a logjam.
All right.
So A, B, and C, Dan. Cool.
Just going to gonna take everything you have. I'm going to wrap it into each other and say,
all of the above.
It's all right. Hey, he's got a recipe. All right. He's baking. Very non-Chelsea related. What everyone full time job? And then Adi even said, like, how do you guys work during the Champions League knockout matches? So I guess full time jobs, that's an interesting one. Dan, do you have a full time job?
I do. I definitely have plenty of work to keep me busy. Yeah, I mean, I've worked in technology for the past 13, almost 14 years now. So I was at Apple for a decade and then have been at Amazon, you know, since 2017. So, yeah, it's been a lot of fun stuff. It keeps me busy. There's a lot of writing. There's a lot of documentation for what comes next in the world of tech. And so hopefully trying to make the world a better place. But I know not everybody has that opinion or perception of those type of things. And, you know, that's why I try to keep it, you know, the one funny thing would be, and maybe, I don't know if you get this, Nick, when you tell people like where you work, when I was working at Apple, the only thing I got questions about, regardless of what I was doing or what my job function was, hey, I have a question about my iPhone. And it was like only thing I would get. And then now at Amazon, it's like, hey, I have a question about my package. I don't unfortunately work in logistics and I can't check into that for you, but I can guide you down the path of where you need to go in the app to get your items sorted.
When I first met Dan, I used him as tech support, so no one feel bad about that.
We all did collectively.
Oh man.
We even used him for his discount. I mean, we went full exploitation on Dan.
Yeah. And by exploitation, I mean, I still paid Apple a lot of money for the goods and services that I received. So, I work as a senior strategist at an ad agency in Kansas City, and I've been lucky enough to work on some really cool stuff. I just posted a kind of a throwback to a shoot I was on last year for Gore-Tex on my personal Instagram. If you want to go check that out, just give you a little bit of a peek behind the curtain as to what I was doing. We literally were on the side of a mountain and in a river and doing all sorts of cool stuff for Gore-Tex, which is great. So, that's my day job. Is I do, 40 to 50 hours of that a week, and then another handful of hours with this a week. So it's a busy existence, but it's all good, man. I mean, I have no complaints. It's a really good life.
Yeah, it is. I work for a health and fitness company called Lifetime. It's a national brand. Some of you may have Lifetimes in your city. If you do, let me know if you want to join. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge.
HMU, HMU.
I run a business called Lifetime Sport for them. So we help train athletes. We help develop athletes in the health and fitness world. And I run the business operations side of it. We have a really, really awesome guy who runs the sports performance. And that's what I do. And I think it kind of the ironic side of this, right, guys, is that, people will be like, oh, when's your podcast going to be your full-time job? And we're all kind of like, I don't know. Like, I like my job. I'm like, this is kind of the perfect balance. And so we've kept our jobs. And instead, we've been able to hire people like Jake and Bruce and things like that to help us. And obviously, we have just all of you in the community help us every single week put this on as well by submitting questions, by engaging with us, by the talking points and things you bring up. So it is definitely a team effort to put this bad boy on. And how do we handle having to work during Champions League? Not well. Like, just being honest, not well. It's not easy.
Your upcoming Monday match, we're recording this before West Ham, but your West Ham match at 2:00 on a Monday Central, it's not great. I had to take a half day because there was just no way I was going to be able to do both at the same time. The thing I was going to mention is we know there are some Chelsea content creators out there doing this full time. Mm-hmm. Boy, the flexibility that would offer, that would be incredible. But, I think we're trying to hold it all together as it is, which is good. And we're still producing a ton of content. So, good question. Thanks for asking. I know we've kind of talked in generalities about what we do, but we never got the question full on like that.
Yeah. And there's probably good technicalities. So, like, I guess it's a hobby still for us. We have our full-time jobs and then we have the podcast job.
Passion project?
Yeah, something like that, Nick. I forgot how you kind
passion
of explain
of love.
It. I don't know.
Oh. Sounds like a bad VH1 reality series from the early 2000s.
Hey, this is the perfect time to reboot it.
Night at the Roxbury.
It's Passion of Love. It's the Courtney Love episodes or dating series.
Yeah. All right. We're all over the place with this one. Champions League in the next 5 years? Question mark.
Jake, insert "What Is Love" by Hathaway into this part of the. What is love?
Okay, Nevin England 99 on Instagram says, do you guys think we could win the Champions League anytime within the next 5 seasons? Well, Nevin, you got to participate to potentially win. As long as you're in it, you got a chance. Knockout tournaments are finicky, Dan. All right. When we did win it, we had the least chance possible, especially with JT getting sent off, Brandon getting suspended. It all seemed to fall apart. Until it didn't.
So just looking at the composition of the squad, you have a lot of players right now under the age of 20. I'm going to use 24 as the benchmark. And actually, it looks like Ben Chilwell's birthday is today or tomorrow on just this assortment, because he's 23.365 in terms of age right now. Tammy, Fakayo, Christian, Mason, Havertz, Reece James, Calum Odoi, Billy Gilmore, all included in the first team currently, all under the age of 24. If you think about the next 5 years, that takes, you know, Calum up to 25. It takes Ben Chilwell up to 28, 29. We're going to have a really strong and developed core of a side that, as they grow together, as they gel, as they mesh, Nick, I do think there will be a window there. And if we've established a foundation, if we spend smartly and acquire the right players and the ones and the twos now that we get in the window to fill out, I think it's definitely within the realm of possibility. Yeah, absolutely.
Brandon's comment about you have to, like, if you're in it, you can win it is not true. I'm sorry. Like, I mean,
Krasnodar? Yes.
No. Hypothetically, you're right. If you're in it, you could, like, you know, 1v16 type of NCAA tournament matchup. I guess you could do that, but can you do that for five rounds? Maybe not. The reason I say that is you look at, you know, and I think the Champions League landscape might change post-COVID, by the way. Like, your Barcelonas, your Real Madrids, your Atletico Madrids, who had some financial strength before the pandemic. You know, Spain's been hit hard by this thing. Italy's been hit hard by this thing. You know, those leagues, and some of the teams in those leagues. So you might see a little bit of austerity in those leagues, which may open up room for the Premier League, I should say, to be a, you know, kind of 2005 through 2010 kind of dominant in the Champions League again. That could be really interesting. Does Chelsea have a long-term growth plan to get there? Maybe. It seems like there's a better strategy at the club. It seems like they're buying the right types of players to be competitive in the Champions League. You still got to look at Bayern Munich as the model for football right now in the world. They're not only buying superstar players. They're buying Alphonso Davies, who is now in the World 11 for pennies on the dollar. They're identifying talent that's incredible. And Chelsea are also doing that. But Chelsea, I feel like, are a few years behind them. So maybe the fifth year. For me, like, that's how far off I think we are. And I'm not being overly negative there. I just think there's a long line of teams to get through before we're at the top.
Well, I think you just got to get to, like, the upper echelons, and then, you know, you can throw your hat in the ring for a chance. But, you know, it kind of goes back to my point about Bayern. One of the things that make them good specifically is that wages in Germany are already lower than in England, significantly lower. And then on top of that, if you want to win the Bundesliga title, you have to go to Bayern. Now, and I say have to, I mean, yes, Dortmund's won it, you know.
Every eight or nine years, maybe. Yeah.
But if you essentially want to guarantee yourself a title within 24 months, you go to Bayern. So they have all the leverage. And so they're able to pay superstars, not superstar wages. Whereas Chelsea in the Premier League, you got to pay up. You know, we all know about the TV contract and everything. So, you know, there are, intricacies to an English team today competing with essentially two first 11s. And we saw how much money Manchester City had to do it when they went on their really good run, whether winning the league, getting to the semifinal, you know, losing to Liverpool, all those things. But they had a stacked group and they were healthy. So, again, I like the idea that we have a young, up and coming, promising team that will give us a long term stability. And to, you know, Dan's point, you splash in a couple of sparks in here and there, and yeah, you know, it's a potential. I think we'll always be optimistic though about our team. Like, we always want to believe our team can win the big ears trophy. So, I want to say yes, but after this last window and Chelsea signing the players we did, I think there's a lot of intent there. I don't think the momentum's going to slow down. And obviously more came from our Matt Law talk about like that. He does think Chelsea are going to look to unload more players than bring them in this winter, but the momentum is still there. And that's what I'm most excited about. So
one thing, Brandon, is also, that's a beneficial element, is if, you know, to Nick's point where he talked about the the growth of some of the Premier League sides, the austerity within the Spanish leagues or maybe in other international leagues, is if Chelsea finished in the top of the group stage, you know, on a yearly basis, what also isn't happening, you know, we also have the beneficiary of not getting having to play another English side through the knockout round, right? So the first round, like, you're getting almost a bye past a lot of teams that are going to be a little bit stronger if we think that the Premier League is going to continue to excel here too. So that is something that just, like, structurally the way it's constructed right now, if you do a couple of things right in the first stages, you're pushing yourself into potentially that round of 16 a whole lot easier.
Well, I think they're revamping the Champions League in, what, 2022, 2023, somewhere in there.
If you're counting on UEFA to hold true to its own rules, I got bad news for you, Dan.
Yeah, also true. All right, hey, we're going to take a really quick break. This one's early so we can get it out of the way and get to the rest of it. We're going to talk about the beginnings of the podcast, our favorite non-Chelsea player giving gifts. I mean, there's just all over the board here. We got a smorgasbord of questions for you guys. So again, thanks to the sponsors for supporting the show financially, but we'll be right back.
Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other job sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, and you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the most important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. It's a lot. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31st.
All right, listen up, fellas. 2020 sucked. It's almost the new year, which means new balls with our sponsor, Manscaped. Manscaped is the best when it comes to men's below-the-waist grooming, offering precision-engineered tools for your family jewels and helping 2 million men all over the world get rid of hair on their balls. Dan, what do you think about that?
Well, yeah, I agree. 2020 sucked. And 2021 is right around the corner. So, you know, if you want to get that new year freshness going on, you know, they've got the perfect package, you know, which is a collection of items like the lawnmower 3.0. You've got the weed whacker to take care of those annoying nose hairs and ears hair. And, you know, I mean, look, they also got other products that you could use too. They've got a ball toner, right? The crop reliever. They've got a ton of different things. And as we're recording this, we're getting laughed at. And, you know, ultimately that's okay because, you know what? You have to find joy in this moment. And one of the things that can bring you joy, Brandon, can be a brand new package from Manscaped.
It's true. Look, if you're going to, you know, take care of yourself and do some cleaning up, you might as well do it with the right equipment. The Lawnmower 3.0, it's waterproof skin-safe trimmer, reduces the nicks to your two best friends, right? It comes with a shed travel bag. Keep all your goodies stored together.
Brandon, don't forget, you know, the ball is going to drop at midnight. Make sure the ball looks good with the Lawnmower 3.0 and Manscaped. Use our code LondonIsBlue for 20% off and free shipping on your first order. That is LondonIsBlue, the code, 20% off plus free shipping. So when the balls drop, everything looks pretty.
All right. Well, there you go. 20% off and free shipping with the code LondonIsBlue at Manscaped.com. Again, 20% off with free shipping at Manscaped.com. And use code LondonIsBlue. Happy New Year to you and your balls. All right. So we talked a little bit about our personal life, their jobs. Now they want to talk about the pod and how it started. So Tana overall, Tana Atlanta on Twitter saying, would love to know that London is Blue pod beginnings. How did it all start, the pod, and your Chelsea fandom? So I don't know. I think our fandom started before the podcast. Mm-hmm. So Nick, I know your entry story, so I'll let you. We'll do how we became Chelsea fans briefly because we've said it a few times, and then we can talk about the humble beginnings of this thing.
Yeah, my best friend Joe got me into Chelsea. Kind of a short and sweet story. I mean, he got back I think he went to the 05 MLS All-Stars versus Chelsea match. So 05 dates me as a person, as you could tell. But came back and we were roommates at college and was like, hey, man, you got to start watching everything here. And so it got me into it straight away. And it's been a love affair ever since.
That is why Chelsea come to the U.S. on summer tours, mm-hmm. Dan. It's that easy. You snap up a bunch of Relaney's.
Yep.
That's one way to do it. And I think Brandon and I have similar stories, different from Nick, where it was a player who brought us in. You know, I liked watching Michael Ballack play when he came over from Germany to Chelsea. That was it. It was pretty straightforward. And, you know, he eventually left, but I stayed. And, you know, I think actually that really made Chelsea the beneficiary. That was the extra added bonus of the Michael Ballack signing. Didn't realize they were getting me on a free too.
Mm-hmm.
They're so grateful. I came earlier than you through Petr Cech. So that was the Fox Soccer days. They were showing the Euros that summer. He literally stood on his head, was out of this world. So as a goalkeeper, as I was playing myself, you're always looking for heroes, and I didn't want it to be Schmeichel because, well, duh. Everyone was supporting United, and I just wanted to do something different. And so followed Cech to Chelsea. I honestly had no idea what Chelsea were like or the fact that they almost went bust two seasons before that, and followed them to the first title under Jose. And it was like, oh, this team's good. They must have always been good. This is fun. Let's do this. And ended up going on like the best 20-year run, like 15-year run in the club's history. So it's been fun. It's been wild. And then how it started essentially is back in 2014. I had a really long commute. I just moved to Minnesota, didn't really know anybody. And so back then you either started a blog or you started a podcast. And I'm no writer. My mother is a journalist. My brother is a journalist. Not me. My dad and I, we can talk. We're talkers. So I was like, look, let's just see if I can do a podcast. And there was really no American Chelsea podcast at the time, Nick. Obviously, I was listening to the fan cast. I was listening a little bit to the Potting Shed. I was listening a little bit to the Chelsea. Chelsea in America were kind of doing one with Beth, but not really. So I just was like, let me throw my ring in the hat or my hat in the ring. I'm struggling right now. And had no experience, threw out a tweet, and you guys responded, and we kind of embarked on this journey. You had a little bit of podcasting experience.
I did a small Nebraska football podcast, which, you know, was better than it is now, which is wild stuff to think about. We thought it was bad back in the day, but boy, it's gotten worse. So I think that's the lesson is sometimes serendipity is a thing that can happen to you, right? And it's important to capitalize on those moments when you think something could be kind of cool. I mean, Dan and I were the only people to respond to Brandon in his incredibly ageist tweet that he sent out. Just a tremendous ageist tweet. Only under 30. That's all he wanted, was a young person. And Dan barely qualified, barely made it under the threshold, you know? I mean, at that time, he was like 37. it's been a wild, wild ride. I mean, we didn't even record our first episode, harbinger of things to come, most recently with Clayton. Brandon got the name of our podcast wrong on the first episode. So if you go back and listen to episode one, you'll hear Brandon say a different name than what the show's actual name is.
I don't even know what it was.
And then we got better and more professional over time. And it's only been, Dan, 6.5 years of trying to get better.
That's what it is. It's constant improvement. It's trying to work through the challenges that Brandon sets us up with. And, you know, we just find a way. You find a way to push through it. You know,
we've
had to sabotage him. We've had to sabotage him to try to just keep him on his toes throughout the year. It's only a new occurrence. But, you know, I think that is the, you know, to the serendipitous point that Nick made, it's been incredible, right? To just, you know, there's a lot of negative things about social media, about Twitter that don't work out right, that are really, really terrible. And this is one of those stories where actually it is 100% opposite, 1,000% opposite, that this was a pretty wonderful thing to come out of just a random tweet. So yeah, it's been fun.
When
What a life-changing experience, man. I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah. Well,
without a doubt. I mean, when you think about the odds of it, we had never met. We all lived in different parts of the country. We had different time zones. And we did the podcast for 2 years before we even met face-to-face. I think, Dan, I met you in Florida at one point. I think you two had met. But, like, the three of us had never been in the same room until August 2017 when Chelsea 16. Came to 16, yeah, when Chelsea 16. Came to Minneapolis. And then that was the first time. So the fact that we've been able to like foster this friendship through this podcast with absolute complete strangers. And then you think of the chemistry of the show and the balance that it works. We all brought something different to the table and we've persisted and enjoyed doing this together. I mean, the amount of like reasons why this shouldn't work far outlists the reasons why it should have worked. And you know, we do get people who say, oh, hey, I want to join the podcast and this, and we're flattered that they see value in what we do, but we're also very concerned that it's working and we, you know, we don't want to disrupt what's going well because we feel like we've already overcome so many odds that if we keep trying to push it, it might finally crumble. But everything we've done so far has gone well and it's been a ton of fun. And like you said, to go from complete strangers to sitting down interviewing players at Cobham, it's been a wild journey, but it's been fun. And we're just hoping to share it with more and more of you out there. And all we're doing at the center is just trying to build more like-minded Chelsea fans in a community, and you're out there. So thank you for being a part of it. Alternate support, Stu Logan 22 on the IG says, who's your favorite and current non-Chelsea player? I feel like, Dan, you've got a huge list of them, don't you? What's your fantasy squad look like? Mo Salah, captain?
Oh, 2020? My fantasy squad is good. It has been, look, if you're not captaining Mo Salah in Fantasy Premier League, I don't know what to tell you. It's the set and forget it. It's the stupid easy button to put in. I imagine that Nick is checking his fantasy Premier League team.
I don't have him. I don't have him.
Well, no, there's a reason why you're starting to lag behind here in the overall rankings. You know, I think it's tough. I also tend to index to maybe people we've had a chance to interact with over time. So like a sneaky good one, maybe that is... would fly under the radar. But, you know, obviously we support the U.S. soccer efforts as well. And like Crystal Dunn had an amazing last year. We had a chance to meet her and speak with her when she was playing for Chelsea. That would be one who would definitely be kind of on the top of the list. Maybe just one who, you know, enjoy to watch. I have always enjoyed watching Lewandowski. I know that there have been times that we've been linked with him previously. He's been super fun to watch. I mean, it's hard not to enjoy someone who just scores for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So I would maybe throw those two out there. It's just, I don't know if that I tend to watch too much Chelsea to maybe have a favorite outside of this group of players.
Yeah, right. Like to me, these are always kind of tough questions. I also don't want to incriminate myself and like get in trouble with Chelsea. No, you know, I think I'm a huge fan of Mbappe and just watching him grow up in the limelight and how he's handling it. I'm really impressed by him. And I just think he is so, so talented. I mean, he's literally a generational player. And I think he's fantastic. You know, one of my favorite players ever who's still playing, albeit not much, is Gigi Buffon. His ability to be a leader inside one of the biggest Juventus teams and play at the highest level since he was a teenager, I think is one of the most unbelievable things. So I love watching Gigi Buffon play, because he's done it at the highest level for a really long time. And again, he was a leader, the way he carries himself, he's an ultimate professional, even except for when he got sent off in the Champions League semifinal, kind of ruined that for them. But anyways, those are kind of two of my players. Very opposite and very different, Nick. But, you know, that kind of gives you an idea of how I kind of look at and view other non-Chelsea players.
Yeah, I mean, I have to look at De Bruyne. I just think he's incredible. Mm-hmm. I hate Man City. Don't get me wrong. I wish he was doing it in Chelsea blue still. But what that dude can do with his right foot is a whole different level than what other people can do. Yesterday I was watching their match and he put it from the left-hand side, put in a cross with the outside of his right boot that most players couldn't put a spin on if they were going with a natural crossing angle. And it was flawless. It just lands right where it's supposed to. It is incredible. So I look at De Bruyne, and then you guys know I like a hard tackling defender, midfielder, that kind of thing. So, you know, when, you know, I was thinking back to some of my favorites, and, you know, I think one that I really enjoyed during their Champions League glory when they won three or four straight, whatever, is Casemiro from Real Madrid. Who is not having a great year this year by any means, but was pretty incredible at the base of that midfield for Madrid. And that's probably my favorite position on the pitch to watch. So that.
If you want to throw in a female player too, since Dan did, I love Tobin Heath because she's just straight baller.
Sauce.
Just disrespects everyone in front of her. And I saw the push notification from Bleacher Report. Apparently she had a sick chip today for the Manchester United women. So I'll have to go back and see that. UCL draw underscore, I'm going to call you Nick, all right, says on Instagram, what do you think of the Champions League round 16 draw against Atletico Madrid? Diego! I mean, how can you not get excited for Diego Costa to come back? We've got fire extinguisher still. I'm sure he'll reunite himself.
You better bring an extra. I don't know, man. I think this is going to be real. It's going to be like two legs against Spurs. Like, that's how I feel this is going to go. Like, under current construction, I think Simeone is going to definitely set up a bus when it comes to Stamford Bridge in the second leg. But I think, Dan, they are going to try and make it as hard as humanly possible for Chelsea to attack with any sort of flair or any sort of whatever. And you think back to those Conte sides and like the matchup that we had against them in the Champions League. We were there for the home match. Conte and Simeone were very similar in the way that they approached football, though with different formations and different ideologies, but they were both ready to go hammer and tongs. It will be interesting to see what Lampard does as an approach with Simeone, and knowing that there is just a whole different mindset about football between those two.
Well, I think the question too, with the difference in, you know, ideologies, and you're just kind of looking at it, they've had just in kind of the La Liga this season, 24 goals. So they're getting about two goals a match right now. Only five goals conceded. So they're not allowing much past their defense.
Stingy.
And also their expected goals for allowed is 8, so they're actually doing better than what the anticipated scored on is. They also are significantly outperforming their XG right now, so 15.7 goals expected. So they are in a little bit of a tear there. First in La Liga, so I mean, those are all things to maybe kind of keep in mind, that they are a good squad this season. They are doing the business, as it were. I do think Diego Costa, even though he's back, and this might be the Diego Costa derby, he's only played just like 200 minutes so far this season. He has been in and out a little bit. I think other ones, Yao Felix is probably one that might be a little bit more concerning for us. You know, he's had 8 goals, 2 assists. Llorente actually has done really well for them as well as a midfielder. 5 goals, 3 assists. So, I mean, they definitely have some people. And Suarez, right? Like, Luis Suarez is there. And that's something we have to kind of think about, too, coming back and playing. So, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be interesting. I think, you know, with draws, I mean, so what, right? Like, you have to beat the best to be the best. And yeah, you could be, like, point the finger at another team who's like, oh man, I can't believe that they got, you know, this team. They got a, you know, total like walkover, total cake pop. But ultimately, like, that's, you have to play the best. And that's what the Champions League is about.
Part of the Champions League is also waiting as late as absolutely possible to play the best. That, I mean, that helps. You don't want to play the best all every single round. Atletico probably aren't the best, but they're tier two. I mean, they're right there. I probably just haven't watched enough of it, having not been paying any attention to La Liga, to the fact if they're one, we know Barcelona are struggling domestically. Real Madrid aren't obviously what they used to be. So it's like they're probably finding an opportune time to be at the top of the league while it's not as competitive. But they're still doing the business. And at the end of the day, I think that's what that's what's important to credit them with. So we know they're going to defend at Stamford Bridge. And so it's just going to be a matter of us trying to, you know, be up for the fight. It's going to be a scrap. Atletico are just a tough team. When it comes to gift giving, Millhouse is back on the ones and twos here. Says, what is the best Christmas gift you've ever been given? And who is the best gift giver on the pod? Look, I'll jump into the second one. I don't know between you two. So we do birthday gifts here. And we are upping the ante recently. So we used to do restaurant gift cards, which were delicious. And now we've done unique. You
remember restaurants? Oh, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Good times.
Now we're doing fancy bottles of adult spirits. So whoever started that trend off, because I have the first birthday of the year when it comes to the podcast and like in our calendar and like our season year, whatever. I got a very fancy bottle of tequila and it was delicious. And we have kept that game going. So kudos to whoever's idea that was to switch to spirits.
I think that was a collab idea.
I think Nick is probably the most thoughtful with this. I would give him the honors for this one. I think he was the one who actually kicked off, I think, like the restaurant gift card thing. And
it's true.
I don't know. I think, you know, also has his own brand of Irish cream or Bailey's that he delivers out on a yearly basis to friends and documents that. And all those friends repost those, and he reposts that on his Instagram story. So I feel like it just has to be Nick. I think Nick is the winner here.
I would say that, and not to be too cheesy, but the bottle of Old World Rye from Whistle Pig that I got for my birthday is among the tastiest things that I've ever consumed. And so I know that was probably leaning more Dan than Brandon because of his bourbon knowledge, but
100%.
But still, I don't know.
What did we have in London?
Yeah, you guys treated me to a huge birthday in London too. So I don't know.
Deers that like that upscale and like Indian. New age kind of Indian steakhouse type of thing.
But,
that
yeah.
was really good.
Would you have? What was the scotch you had?
No, the bartender was kind enough to give me a pour of Pappy 23, which is probably about 100 pounds an ounce. So yeah,
that was fun.
Yeah, it was incredible. You know,
the bartender there is the best gift giver on the pod. Done.
No doubt. No doubt. No doubt. Best Christmas gift we've ever received. Good Lord.
Beating Arsenal on Boxing Day.
I think.
That'd be a good gift for this year, sure.
Definitely. I'm trying to speak it into existence. I think we've been lucky. We've done like Christmas in Colorado skiing and stuff as a family and things like that. So like, you know, as I get older, it's more of like, you know, I'm that millennial guy, I guess. It's about experiences rather than things like that. So we've gotten to travel right after Christmas as well and be in London while it's all dressed up for Christmas. And that was genuinely magical, seeing that town dressed up for Christmas. Millhouse, we need to go back to London and visit Chelsea when it's safe again over the new year. It is amazing.
Oh, it is amazing. There's so much football. There's so much food. There's some like the experience that you get is incredible. I think one of the best things that we received for Christmas one year is we went to, what was that? It was a Gaucho, the steakhouse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we went back for a really nice meal over that period and just had a blast and spent way too much money and ate way too much food. But that's a hell of a deal.
Meat sweats and red wine.
Oh, incredible stuff. If my blood could be made up of chimichurri, you bet your sweet ass it would be. I mean, that is liquid of the gods right there.
Well, Big Nash followed up and said, what did the three of y'all gift each other for Christmas? Because he saw your story, Nick, with the how do you get some Verlaley's? Apparently, you're not looking to ship it across state lines.
It turns out there's like a commerce department that would frown heavily upon me sending alcohol, my own alcohol, to friends and family. They have not regulated
brand on it.
Officer, that was not me, sir. This is clearly your label.
And your return address.
So Verlaley's is a mom creation that I have done my own spin on. It's very tasty. It's the perfect holiday treat. Brandon and Dan have not even ever received Verlaley's, but I shall make it someday. It's just like my Christmas gift to family and friends. You know, nice quart of Bailey's to go with your morning coffee on Christmas. That's the sweet spot.
Yeah, Dan, we don't really gift each other anything for Christmas. We spend so much time with each other. We usually gift ourselves a day off from each other and able to spend time with our families and friends on Christmas.
Yeah, that's really what it is. It's building a podcast schedule where we're recording on a Sunday for an episode that will drop on Christmas Eve, most likely here. And that way you get content and we get a day to celebrate with friends and family. And this is a group of friends, but you know, we also, do appreciate some time to decompress as well. And that is the gift we're giving each other this year. A little bit of decompression time.
The gift that keeps on giving, Clark.
It is a wild time. Aerith Muggle on Discord, Shane saying, what's a pandemic-inspired habit, preference, tradition you think will continue for you post-pandemic? I've probably had the least pandemic-esque experience because I have to go into work for my job. So I'd be interested with you guys who really are living this pandemic in a much different way than I am even. So Dan, clearly you're coping by buying fancy ass Apple AirPod headphones, which look amazing.
They're quite nice. And, after a decade of working at Apple, you can usually have a friend in your network who might be able to get you an employee discount. So it is not as ridiculously expensive as it should be. I've started to do more coffee at home, which is not something I typically did. So I've invested in a hand grinder. I've done a little bit more kind of pour over action. That's been pretty exciting. Walking during conference calls that don't necessarily need to be video on or in front of it, where you're just maybe kind of reporting out, you know, one or two things and you can take it while you're walking. That's phenomenal. I will totally do that back at, once we kind of at some point in 2021 get back in offices, I will continue doing that because just getting up and moving around from a creative thought process is, I actually think, super helpful. So
fresh those are probably air the two is things powerful.
Absolutely. So those are definitely the two things that I would put in there. And I know Nick probably shares the agreement in some of those, that those are things that we will enjoy doing, but he might have a unique spin as well.
Well, he's just scoffing at you and you're finally catching up to him and his coffee game.
No, the coffee, like Dan and I live on, like if we didn't have coffee, we wouldn't be alive.
So true.
So, I mean, it's a dramatic improvement in my home coffee game for sure. I got myself a Chemex, which is... I found out that coffee has flavor, which is really cool. It doesn't taste like dirt. So I've been investing in some coffees for sure. And then I started playing golf over the summer because it was one of the few things that I felt kind of comfortable doing outside with friends. And I will likely continue to play golf, as absolutely maddening as that game is. And it is so much more maddening than anything I've ever done. It's more of a mental thing than a physical thing, and that frustrates me. So I'll probably keep playing golf.
So it's like FIFA, but real life.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So one habit that I've gotten into was when the first hit. So obviously I work at Lifetime, health and fitness industry. We put out a lot of articles and content when we first shut down back in March about how to boost your immune system. And I actually spent the entire month of April self-educating on immune system and health and, you know, how food kind of affects us. And I'm not perfect about it, but I do now take daily supplements very religiously, just like your multivitamin, your fish oil, vitamin D right now, specifically vitamin C. And then like later at night, magnesium and things like that. So between that and kind of my essential oils diffuser to kind of, when it gets really stressful, just try to do some things that are very natural, but can kind of just help calm and relax in these moments and kind of give me the best kind of chance of being my healthiest version of me. That's something, Shane, that I've really kind of doubled down on. Ironically, even while working at a health industry, we didn't really think about our internal. We're always kind of focused on our external with our muscles and our kind of our physique and things like that. So anyways, that's something that's been fantastic. And so I've tried to post more in our workouts thread on Discord. I've been lifting, doing some heavy lifting lately, and it's been very fun. But yeah, if anyone has questions about the kind of basic supplements, we've got like our core five that we can send an article out that I think is very interesting and very helpful right now too. So his second part is, if you could watch one Chelsea away match in the future, domestic or European, what would it be and why? So if I can stall for you guys a little bit, because there's always there's usually two options, right? There's one, I want to go to Paris. I want to see Chelsea play PSG. I want to see Chelsea play at the Allianz, or, you know, in Germany. I want to see him play Bayern. But there was a group of Twin Cities Blues that went to Minsk. They went to
Belarus, right?
Yes, they went to Belarus for an away match. And the match wasn't exciting, but they said getting to meet up with the Belarus Blues was one of the most incredible experiences. They were in a country they never would have been before. Beers were cheap and they were delicious, and the culture was rich there. So I was super jealous that they got to do a home PL match in a Champions League away, and they went to something off the beaten path. And it was one of the coolest experiences that they'll ever have in their life. So, like seeing Chad and TJ and guys come back from that trip, and just the amount of talking, you know, that they had about that was super cool. So, I know we have some plans that we've talked about doing an away match, and Shane, we've done an away match. All right, Crystal Palace away. Talk about an experience. Well,
That's my number one. I mean, I just love it.
We're gonna try to go bigger, I think, with these, Nick. What's your number two after Palace away?
All right, so I got a couple. I got a couple here. Domestically, I would love to go see. We've seen Chelsea Liverpool at home, but I would love to see the reverse fixture at Anfield. I think that would be a lot of fun. I would also love to go beat Arsenal at the Emirates. I think that would also be fantastic. Then thinking about Europe more broadly, it's all about the city that you go to. Like Brandon just said, Minsk, cool city, great experience. I would love to go to Slavia Prague and enjoy myself some pilsners in Prague. That would be incredible. I would love to go see Olympiakos in Greece. There is a ton, like I'm part Greek, so there's a ton of cultural relevance for me. And then I want to go to the Camp Nou and see Chelsea pull off a 2012 upset in Spain and just eat it up. It's delicious. Nom, 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 nom.
All right, Dan?
I think that was all good. I think the idea of going like into Spain to, you know, play Barcelona, play Madrid, you know, they might be on a downward turn of form and in their kind of journey, but look, that, you know, we've grown up seeing them be the best of the best and getting to watch, you know, getting to watch your team go play an opposition on their home turf and beat them would be super exciting. So that would probably be up there in the top. I think domestically, I'd also love to go watch us play Manchester United at Old Trafford and beat them. I think that would be a lot of fun too. I mean, it's just a, you know, historic grounds, right? Like I think places with history, places that have been built up over a significant period of time, are always going to be places that call to me. And so I think that's, you know, a lot of like the ultra new stadiums, I think are fun. I mean, look, as much as we make fun of Palace's ground, like there's also a lot of history there too, right? A history of broken toilets and, you know, games and matches that are really exciting. You know, going to see Fulham play, right? Like that was really good to go to Craven Cottage and see that type of ground. Great. So, you know, I think just grounds a super awesome history, and maybe going to beat big teams at their home ground would be where I would want to go.
I'd also, Naz said, Brandon, like Newcastle is a must go. Like apparently Newcastle, the pubs, there are more pubs than people in Newcastle. And he said the match day atmosphere is almost second to none in football in England. So I think that would be another sneaky one. Ton of history at that stadium, ton of really cool people. You know, that would be a cool one.
Well, I think that's, you guys have hit on different things, right? Obviously, the bigger the match, the more enjoyed it'll be. the more history a team has, the more enjoyable it'll be, because they'll have a team museum, you know, they'll have stuff around the stadium. You can do a tour and it's really, really cool stuff. And then there's the city that the team are in, and then, and the culture that you get when you go, you know? So, I think at the end of the day, I would recommend, if you have an opportunity to go visit a football ground, see a match, take it. It will surprise you somehow. One of the things that is very high on our list that might surprise you is we want to go see some Sunday league football or some League One, League Two type football the next time we go back to London. We've seen Championship. We've seen a lot of Premier League. But we really want to start to understand what it's like lower levels as well, closer to the grassroots. And obviously, we'll go see Imperial Wharf play next time we go as well. But again, just kind of giving us the perspective of the grind it takes to get, you know, up to the Premier League. It's not pretty. There's a lot of grit and sacrifice. And so again, don't turn down any kind of opportunity to go see that stuff. It's super cool. Really interesting question here from Ganazagina 30 says, if you were starting LIBP today, what would you do differently? If you're starting it, I don't think I'd do anything differently. And it's not to be super sentimental or cheesy at all, but like, we've accomplished more than we ever set out to be. And from a fan's perspective, we've sat down with players and been like, all of our boxes really are checked. Now we're just trying to see how many more can we do. So like, I feel like, why would we change what we did? Like, look at what we've gotten to, look at what we've accomplished. I mean, Nick, I'm good. Like, now we're just doing the podcast for fun.
I mean, the cynical answer is I'd do more front-facing videos. I'd have started merch much sooner, and then we have, you know, there are plenty of things to be critical of. You know,
gone on Reddit.
What we've done. Gone on Reddit.
Stay tuned. 2021.
Yep. Yep. There are plenty of things that we want to do that we haven't done. But I think to Brandon's point, the thing that you cannot replace, the sauce of what has made the show special and helped us grow over time, is that we have built an incredible community on which to stand on. And you know, when things seem like they're difficult or challenging or really, really good and amazing, you know, rain or shine, these people are here listening every single week, and you guys are absolutely incredible in that regard. So the way we built our audience, I think, is how we stand out. These are not Twitter trolls. These are not people who fluctuate between highs and lows with a great, you know, degree of whatever. It's thoughtful, caring, inquisitive, you know, funny people that exist in this ecosystem. It's the best Chelsea ecosystem that you could ever ask for. So that's what we did well and what we would not change.
Well, so I've got two things. One, to tag onto yours, I would have started our Discord Patreon community much, much earlier. Like, I think we have built such a great foundation there. And like, I mean, we set it up, but it has really been built by every single member who is participating and offering dialogue. I mean, I'm learning, you know, not just about football, but like from other things. Like, there's a F1 channel where I'm like learning from Nash and others about like different type of history pieces there. So like, there's a ton that goes into that. And then the other thing is probably just swinging the bat at a couple of guests that we thought maybe were out of reach at the time, because I think what we continue to learn is like, you just hit someone up on a DM, you send their agent an email, and it's, people are super willing to want to spend time talking about things that they care about and love, right? Like, we brought CJ on from the Bengals, and how excited was he to come chat? You know, we've got a couple people coming up in the beginning part of next year who are going to be first time, on the pod, who, you know, have been athletes in other sport or broadcasters or commentators, and they just want to talk about Chelsea. Like, it's a break from their norm, and that's an exciting thing. And so I think shooting our shot a little bit more, you know, earlier on a couple of those things are probably the two things that would change, but not a whole lot beyond that.
Yeah, we definitely waited to do a lot of things too, and I think it worked in the long run. Like, we've had our head on our shoulders, and I think that's been a huge help as well, of not trying to do things too quickly.
Well, I mean, behind the scenes, what you guys don't see is that we do meetings every couple of weeks to analyze where we're at, what we should be doing, what a thoughtful path forward would be on a new initiative. And like, there's a ton of work that goes on that you guys don't see, but it's all done under the auspices of like, what's going to make London is Blue a better show, a better audio experience first and foremost. And then what can we do to kind of expand our little, you know, our little empire to other things and make it authentic to us? Because yeah, we weren't on YouTube for the first handful of years, and now we've gotten slightly better about YouTube, you know, over time. And like, we haven't done Instagram necessarily that well, and that's mostly up to me. You know, and we're going to get better there and like things like that. So we're trying, believe me. Like, we have a thoughtful, strategic approach to what we want to do the rest of the year. And I think you guys will enjoy it.
All right. Last one from Manny, Mr. Honk Dizzle on Twitter. Top three Christmas movies, ? Is Die Hard a Christmas movie? LOL. Well, I think of course it is.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Maybe we can each give one, just like we do three reasons why. I'm terrible at this, so I'm going last. Dan, I know you've already got locked and loaded. You are the movie buff here.
Well, I already had the three. Die Hard is definitely one of them.
Okay,
I
think go ahead.
The other two, one is Guilty Pleasure. I think that Jingle All the Way with Arnold is absolutely terrible, but still amazing. Like, it's just got so many quotables. Where's your Christmas spirit? like, the, it's, I don't know. It's stupid. It's fun. And then I think A Muppet Christmas Carol is the best retelling of the Christmas Carol story without question. And it's got Muppets. How can you not love that? It gets you right in all the right feels and all the good spots and sets you up for a great Christmas day.
Incredible. Wow. What a top three that is. leaving some absolute dunks wide open for me to go finish.
Sure.
First on the list, you have to have Christmas Vacation. It's an absolute classic. And there are many of my friends who are drinking their Verlaileys out of moose mugs because of that movie. So fair enough. Fair play. The second is Love Actually. I'm kidding. It's a fine movie. It's just not in my top three. The second, I think, would have to be Home Alone for me. I love Home Alone. And I think that has to make it on second. And then there are a lot of like Christmas adjacent movies, Brandon, that people would probably find joy out of, right? I think Harry Potter movies could be classified as Christmas movies. There's Christmas scenes in Harry Potter movies. So I'd probably throw some like random Christmas adjacent type of films in there.
Sure. I definitely am a big fan of Home Alone. I like that one. I still do thoroughly enjoy Elf. It's very social, lighthearted.
A classic. Yeah, a classic.
Yeah. But then I will go like super cheesy for three and just be like, whatever, whatever brings your family or friends together during this time, go for it. Like, no excuses, no judgment. Just have the time and enjoy it and spend it with whatever you rewinds or reruns that you want to watch. And it's well worth it. We hurried around the fireplace last night to watch SNL. So that's kind of a fun family tradition. But we only need to do it around the holidays because that's when we're together, really. So while it's not a Christmas thing, I guess it's Nick's Christmas adjacent. So anyways, that's it. That's an hour. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for all the questions. All right. You never know what to expect when you get this one. A little life is like a box of chocolates when you do a listener mailbag episode. But we think it was a good balance of Chelsea and non-Chelsea stuff. So hopefully you enjoyed it. But that's going to wrap us up. I have no idea when this is going to drop, so I'm not going to plug anything else. So Nick and Dan, gentlemen, thanks for being here. Everyone out there, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Enjoy your time with your family. Stay safe, though. Please keep you and everyone around you safe and healthy. So until next time, Chelsea fans, you know what to do. Keep the blue flag flying high.